When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Did you enjoy our live stream, Brown John? If so, there's another one coming up on the 22nd of April.
If you didn't see it because you were busy or just an idiot, then you should check it out because the reviews we got for the first one were sensational.
Find out more about it on our Twitter, and also you can get your tickets. What's our website called again?
TFTimemachine.com.
Yeah, tickets links, are available
the
there.
The links will be up there, yeah.
22nd of April, 7 p.m. Loads of great stuff. Get involved.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's another episode where we're just going through some of the mailbag. We've read about two letters out in two episodes. But just at the end of the last one, Sam, you were about to tell us about a letter. So that ties in.
I was talking about my first job in magazines.
The story because I think there's someone at the door again.
Okay. All right. Well, Anne's gone. Yeah, I was talking on the last podcast about my first job in magazines, which was at Men's Health magazine when I was a young whippersnapper in the late 90s. And I was like the junior, the editorial assistant. So, you know, basically you'd have to do loads of admin and making the tea and all that sort of stuff. But once in a while, they'd chuck you a bone and give you a proper little journalistic assignment to do. That was the payoff, you know. And last week I talked about an argument I had with a mattress company, which is a more interesting story than it sounds. And one of the first little projects I was given by the editor was the 98 World Cup was coming up. And weirdly, not many people in the office at that magazine were football fans, which is strange. So they said, oh, you like football. You can basically edit our World Cup special, right? And I said, yeah, oh my God, this is like a dream come true. Because really, I wished I was working on a football magazine anyway.
I'm back just to say it was next door collecting the parcel that came again in the previous episode.
So I said, all right, I'll do it. What do you want to do? And they said, you have to do everything. You have to, like, write it. You have to think. You have to flat plan it where you work out what pages go where. You need to even organise all of the pictures and all of that sort of stuff for it, right? That you can do. You can organise a photo shoot to go as, like, the main page, for the main opening pages for it. And I was like, well, fucking hell, this is great. It's like editing my own little Mac. Which is, you know, at that age, it was like four pages just within the main magazine, but it felt like a huge like opportunity and a bit of excitement. So obviously, it being Men's Health, they said, "What we want your angle to be is how to enjoy the World Cup in a healthy way." Fucking boring, obviously, right? But whatever. So I wrote something. It was a bit like Rig Life. I made the whole thing like have the best World Cup on your sofa ever. Right. And for the opening spread, I did arrange for, we got a studio and we dressed it like the ultimate World Cup rig, right? So it's like your dream rig. So like with like, and everything in there you could buy. Yeah. So like we made it so we got like these amazing like reclining sofas, a mini fridge with your beers in. Do you know what I mean? A cinema screen with projector, all of that sort of like lad's wet dream
literal
sort of thing.
Dream stuff.
Yeah, all that sort of, you know, boy dead bollocks, right? And and it was the opening spread and it was like Men's Health Guide to the Ultimate World Cup from Your Sofa. And it being Men's Health, you had to do really annoying things. Like on the table in front of them, there was some low-fat snacks, right? Rather than like really like high-calorie ones.
And there was like chips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'd research some fucking, you know, low-calorie beers or whatever. And we had to have four lads on the sofa all enjoying the football, right? Yeah. And obviously that was bollocks too, because it's that thing that they still do now in football adverts where people who don't know anything about football or football fan culture imagine what it's like. So what they always do in the advert, especially in the gambling ones, is they make football fans look like they give much more of a fuck than any of us really do in real life, because we're grown-ups. So it's always like, oh, it's always slowed down, and there's sweat, and there's a voiceover going, you know, Sean Bean or Mark Strong's going, your pulse is racing. Your temples begin to sweat. The hairs on the back of your neck step up. Right, and really you're just like half looking at it, but mainly chatting to your mate about the fact he's just had a vasectomy.
Or you're on the edge, literally on the edge of the sofa with your hands on your knees.
They love it.
An arm outstretched.
Well, it's like we talked before, it's because there's some fucking twatty executives at an ad agency going, yeah, I mean, these people treat it like a religion. And the football stadium is like their church.
The very best, I don't know if this is the right word, but subnormal. And this is kind of, this is where they get their kicks and their thrills.
They're people. Yeah. They're uneducated people. They attach significance and importance to football as we would attach to, for instance, money or status.
The opera.
Yeah, right. Being a cunt. And so, anyway, there was elements of that to this thing I was doing. Anyway, so I had three blokes, right? And one was wearing an England shirt. And then the person doing the shoot says, what do you want the other two in? And I said, stick one in a England home shirt, stick the other one in an England away shirt, and then stick the third one, stick him in a Brazil shirt. I said, because Brazil are favourites and they're everyone's second team. There's something glamorous and fun about Brazil. Yeah. Stick him in a Brazil shirt. And they go, yeah, all right. And it was fucking stupid anyway, because first of all, any get-together where there's three adult men wearing football shirt, pristine new football shirts, you sort of, if I turn up to a football get together like that, I'm turning round and leaving straight away.
Hello, we've all been to JD Sports and got some new football shirts. I got the England home, he got the England away, and he got Brazil because it's his second team.
Fuck it, Al.
We've got some low fat snacks. Would you like one? This is a Twiglet.
Fucking hell, now I'm going home.
Hell, who are these cunts?
Yeah.
What church are you from? Are you trying to recruit us?
Yeah, I would have called it, I should have called this story World Cup for Cunts. And what made it extra funny was the only models at Men's Health that you could use were really hunky guys, right?
Yeah.
So they all were like really fresh faced with sort of American hairstyles, right? And they just didn't quite look the part at all. And they're all in these brand new shirts with the labels still on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was tremendously excited. Despite the fact the whole thing was shit, I was like tremendously excited to be given the responsibility to do this. And it went out and I was so excited. You know, I'm telling like my family and my friends, I'll get the magazine this month because I did a whole World Cup thing. And, you know, proud. Like you are when you get first like taste of the responsibility in a job. And I was really happy about it. And anyway, I used to, because I was the editor assistant, when I wasn't doing fun things like that, I had to do things like open the editor's mail, right?
Right.
So every day there'd be lots of letters to the editor and I'd have to open them and sort of sift them.
I've opened your letters.
Yeah, it was like that. Sir, I've opened your letters. I've redacted the bits that are unpleasant or unkind.
The bits that will displease you.
Yeah.
I hope you find these to your satisfaction, sir.
There was about three or four letters that came the next month, right?
Right.
That were fucking from Scotland fans going, right. I got your fucking magazine, okay? And to the World Cup game, you had two bastards in an England shirt, right? And I wouldn't have minded that so much, but the third bastard was in a Brazil shirt. And you know full well that we play Brazil in our opening game, right?
Oh,
and maybe that is something I should have thought of, but I thought it was a Lampardy point to make, I suppose, in retrospect. But I absolutely freaked out, mate. I fucking freaked out. It was only three or four letters. They were pretty angry.
Yeah.
But the
Did
editor
you have to
was
open
not...
these letters and then give them to the editor?
No, that's the point of the story. Oh. I destroyed them because I was so scared. Because I was only young. And you know what it's like when you're young? I thought, looking back, the editor is still now, to this day, one of my best mates, right? Really good mate of mine, right? And I don't know if I've ever told this story, but well, I should tell him. I go, look, just so you know, when I first knew you, I destroyed quite a lot of mail that I thought might reflect badly on me.
Just so you know, I have manipulated my entire career based on one incident. Did you take the letters to an abandoned underground car park and like burn them?
Buried them under the Westway in London, yeah.
Oh, you have to burn them. Concrete. They might get discovered.
They might do one day, yeah.
Fuck.
I poured wet cement. There was a huge ditch and I got a big truck to pour wet cement. Like fucking gallons of wet cement onto it. They're deep in the ground underneath cement now.
You dug a trench with a teaspoon just for all time's sake.
I shredded them first. And then put the letters in. And I had one of those shredders that go two ways, crisscross shredders.
Oh, best kind.
You know, people do painstakingly sellotape these letters together.
It can be done. Yeah, you've got to burn the evidence.
I know. I'm
wherever you
now.
Can.
But the thing is, he is not a football fan. He wasn't a football fan. That was why I ended up doing a job, because no one in the office, it was a weird fucking bunch there, none of them were into football apart from me. That's why I got the fucking nod to do this thing. And none of them would have known, understood, or cared if they'd seen a letter. Yeah. But you know when you're a kid, you're, fucking hell, ah, there's a... I mean, God, imagine if I'd reacted that badly about Pharmacy Gate, although I kind of did. But if you compare it... if you compare it to Pharmacy Gate, where there was, a global campaign of 250,000 complaints against me, right? And all emails and death threats and all the rest of it, right? This was just four letters from some angry Scotsman. And I was like, destroy them, destroy
them.
I'll say this, though.
If there was no emails and no social media and the pharmacists had to put pen to paper to register their disgust and go to the fucking post box and put a stamp on it and post it, how many complaints would you have really got?
Yeah, but...
14,
you know,
something like that.
How many death threats would I have had? Just three or four.
Maybe two
death threats from disgruntled pharmacists threatening to give me the wrong prescription so I may die because of a thing I said on a sofa next to Vanessa Feltz. Right. I went to a new pharmacist yesterday that I don't usually go to because I was passing. Right. I need to pick up a prescription. And I walked in. It was a super drug. And I walked in and I handed it to them. And usually I go to a small neighbourhood chemist. Right. Yeah. But instead I went to a big chemist. Super drug, right? And I gave it to them. I gave them the prescription. They looked at it, then they looked at me, then they looked at it again.
Yeah.
And then they went backstage. You know, they have their backstage area.
Oh,
and of course, I've straight away thought, well, the local chemist knows me. I'm in there for quite regular prescriptions.
The local chemist and I have had a conversation. We've smoothed things over. Everything's fine.
I think that if they do know that I am the Sam Delaney who was targeted by a massive global death campaign by their industry, then they made peace with that. But they went backstage and I started to get paranoid because they were just gone for fucking ages. And I like
gone
to be told
to Google you and have a look.
I like to be told by a chemist if how long the wait's going to be. I don't think that's too much to ask, because sometimes they've got some, we've got some pre-mixed backstage, we'll just get it for you straight away. Sometimes they say that, or sometimes they go, we're going to have to mix this
tonic. Yeah. You've come for. We've got some pre-mixed.
Yeah, I was going for my hair tonic to try and... I'm on a prescription to try and make my hair grow back.
We haven't got any, so we're going to have to fire up the kiln or the vat, whatever the fuck it is.
They do, sometimes they say, it's going to be 10 or 20 minutes, so if you've got anything else to do, go and do that. And then I'll go off, usually do a bit of other high street stuff, mate. Do a bit of
high street stuff, yeah.
Just go and do a bit of high streeting.
Been missing out on all that lately, haven't we?
I can't wait
it's coming
for a good
back
high street.
Good.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
jalapeño.
But these cunts, they just didn't come out for ages. I thought it's a bit rude, right? Because I'm just fucking stood in the middle of this COVID pandemic, right? And then a different chemist to the one who originally took the prescription comes out, and she goes like this. She looks at the prescription and she goes, "Is it Sam Delaney?" And I went, "Yeah." And then she went, "Oh, I was just checking that I was reading that properly, right?" And I thought, what's she mean by that? I started to get dead para. Because I looked at a prescription, because often doctors' writing's very messy, but this said Delaney very clearly, right?
Yeah.
So then she's disappeared and they've gone for ages again.
She wanted to make sure it was you.
Then she's come out. By this stage, I've convinced myself that what they're doing is mixing rat poison into my pills, right? A third different chemist come out. By this stage, I'm all over, psychologically and emotionally, I am all over the place, right?
Jesus.
And they come out, and a different one comes out, and she goes, "Can I just..." goes to hand me the bag. Then as I go to grab it, she sort of hesitates a bit and goes, "Can I just check, is this for you?"
Mm.
And I went, "Yes, for me." And she went, "Okay, you're not picking up someone else." I go, "No." She goes, "Okay." And then she gave it to me, and I thought, that's fucking weird. All of this is fucking weird. Anyway, I'm out with my wife, and I said to her, "Fucking hell, it was a weird carry on in the Superdrug just then. I think the chemists are on to me." And she's like, "Oh, fuck me, not this again."
Job, Sam.
I'd gone really balmy. I was like, "They're fucking on to me. They went back and mixed up poisons into my pills." And I started really examining the blister pack.
Yeah.
See, it's had a long-term psychological impact on me, that whole incident.
Been tampered.
They hadn't been tempted. They hadn't been tampered. I took a couple when I got home, and I'm still standing now, so
still all right.
I'm sorry for judging Superdrug, but what I'm saying is those chemists were nice, and they were the drug that I was picking up is a controlled substance.
Okay.
Right? And my good wife said, "Didn't you say that was a controlled substance that can be taken to excess for thrills?" And I was like, "Yeah." Because my doctor who prescribed them once said, "Be careful on that." This is what he actually said. "Be careful on that stuff. I mean, I know you're not doing all that anymore, but some lads fucking neck a fistful." He goes, "I knew one lad, he necked fistfuls of them, then jumped on his motorbike and rid 100 mile per hour down an A road. And he said it was the only way he could get his kicks." I'm not joking. That's what the doctor said. Which is a bad thing to say to a recovering addict, because it may mean fucking hell. So if I take a fistful of these and then go out riding around on my Vespa, I might get a bit of a thrill.
I'm going to put you on these. If you do take more than six in one go, you will get thrilled. So I'm just saying.
So don't, unless you want a thrill, but probably not. Because I'm looking at your notes here and I'm saying, no, best not. But just know that that will definitely happen.
You need to, your kind of thrills need to be non-drug. You need to get your thrills from going running, looking at the flowers, talking to a cat, stuff like that.
It says here that you drink up to 8 cups of tea a day. Is that still the case? Yes, it is. Good, good. But you haven't been eating 6 pills or anything like that? No. All right. Now, it does say on your notes, it says thrill seeker. Are you still a thrill seeker? I didn't think it was something you could get over.
Low level thrills, you know, not massive ones.
Right, that is a problem. I don't usually prescribe these particular pills to thrill seekers. But in your case, because I like you, I like your face, you've got a kind face, I'm gonna trust you and I'm going to sign this prescription. But don't go seeking thrills on these pills.
I'll amend your records to low level thrill seeker as well. I'll also put self-confessed. So that we know that you've been honest about it.
It's like pleading guilty in court. Amazing doctor.
Fucking hell. So, how did we get there? Oh, it was the story about the World Cup.
Yeah. I've got a letter from Dennis Wilkinson. He said, All right, cunts, idea for a new tune machine episode. Sorry, we're crossing the streams here a bit. But if you're listening to this, you probably are IFS, so it's all right. You'll have access to...
No, these are for everyone, these episodes. These are going to be the Monday and Friday.
Well, if you don't subscribe to the Iron Piling Society on Patreon, then you won't be getting our Top Flight Tune Machine episode.
Tune Machine is now available free to air 9 months later. So they're all...
Well, we recently did a 96 chart, which obviously was tremendously thrilling for us both. We send in
low-level thrills, obviously.
Yeah, low-level thrill. Just the sort of thrill that my doctor has prescribed. You're better off just, I don't know, I mean, what pushes your buttons? We've all got something. Me personally, I like birds with big tits. But what is it that turns you on, Mr. Delaney? What I'm really into is Euro 96. Right, okay, what? Fine. You're into Euro 96. So why don't just do a podcast about that then?
That's understandable. There were a lot of birds with big tits around in Euro 96.
It was a heyday for big knockers.
Me and you were quite similar, I think, Mr. Delaney.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as into Euro 96 as you, but there's a big overlap. If there were a Venn diagram between my passion and yours, there'd be a big overlap zone.
I'll tell you what, in this bit on your records where it says thrill stimulus, I'll just put birds with big tits, because Euro 96 isn't going to make much sense to anyone else that reads it. So I'll just put it down same as me.
Don't write that, Doctor. Don't write that. I don't want that on my record. No, it's fine. No one's going to judge you for it. It's fine. There are loads of folk. You'd be surprised at the amount of people I get through here who are into big tits.
Here, take some of these.
No, but I'm not. But I'm not. I wouldn't say that I really am into big tits. Oh, you like flat chested lasses, do you? No, I'm just not. I don't really look at women like that. Oh, so what's your wife like then? How big are ours, roughly? You don't have to give me an exact size. Have you got any pictures?
Do a drawing for me.
Has she got a healthy bosom? I'm into Euro 96, but it's more of a cultural thing than anything to do with what, tits? Yeah. So I just would like no mention of tits on my official NHS records.
Well, it makes it a lot easier for everyone.
Suit yourself, but I can tell you this is going to confuse a lot of folk. If you ever get involved in an emergency. Right, if you run over or out like that and they get you, they have to get quick access to your notes and understand them very quickly.
What's this thrill stimulus? We need to know. Quick. Euro 96.
Euro 96, I don't understand what that means. Is it, I don't know, does it mean big tits or what? That's what'll happen and you may die. But it's your choice.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll meet you halfway. I'll put birds with big tits, then I'll put in brackets, mainly from Euro 96. All right, are you happy with that?
What about if I put in brackets, Melinda Messenger, etc.? Then they'll know that it's more of a niche that you're into, rather than, like me, all big tits from through the ages.
Yes, fine.
Yeah, okay, I just want to go. Just give me the pills. Good. Remember what I said? No fucking necking them six at a time.
Don't want you getting thrilled.
So, anyway, Dennis Wilkins said, idea for new Tune Machine episode. We send in suggestions for now. That's what I call Euro 96 in. Sam gets to do his own Shine compilation. If you listened recently, you'll know that my dad, in the 90s, during a nervous breakdown, or I don't know if it was a nervous breakdown, a midlife crisis, had every single volume of the Shine CDs, even though he was in his 50s.
Yeah.
And Andy gets to be a grumpy twat. Dennis Wilkinson, what do you expect to achieve from an email like this as he pulls apart our suggestions? Win-win.
Right, okay.
Mine would be Australia by the Mannix. And then he sent a follow-up email, I think, probably out of fear of you judging that, although I don't think you mind the Mannix. It said, and I don't, he sent a follow-up email a few minutes later going, and by the way, I don't even like the Mannix, whiny cunts. I can see what he's done there. That sort of thing I'd do if I was worried that you were going to hate on a band that I liked. I'd quickly say, actually, I don't really like them.
Yeah, I really like Everything Must Go by the Mannix, that album, especially the title track. I'd choose Everything Must Go over Australia, but whatever.
If you tolerate this, then your children will be next.
Yeah, I like that.
Good.
That's good. The album was decent, but not quite as good as Everything Must Go, but good.
Yeah.
Then I kind of lost interest after that.
Well, I'm Design sure Design for still... Life, is that what it's called?
Oh, look, that's an Everything Must Go, yeah. That's a great song, yeah.
The funniest name, one of the funniest names for a song ever is the song Kevin Carter.
Yeah. Well, it's about a fella called Kevin Carter, isn't it?
So I know, but it's just funny, isn't it? Right. The record exec, right, you're going all the way to the top, boys. Everyone wants a piece of the Manix. You're going to be like Wales's answer to the Beatles. What's the next song you've got coming out of your spectacular hit factory? It's called Kevin Carter. What? What? That, no one's going to buy that. Well, people bought Eleanor Rigby. Yeah, but Eleanor Rigby's got a charm to it, hasn't it?
Kevin Carter?
It's got a bit of mystery. Kevin Carter just sounds some fucking bloke who's just changed your tyres.
It sounds like a bloke plays for fucking Burnley or something like that.
Kevin Carter, I think, was a war photographer.
Yeah, he was.
Who took photos so disturbing that when he got back to his darkroom and developed them, he took one look and topped himself.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Something like that. Yeah, I'm just having a look. Yeah, it was the Sudan famine in 1993. He won the Pulitzer Prize for that, and he took his life age 33. Started off as a sports photographer.
A bit like that bloke who made yesterday's hero.
Yeah. So that's Kevin Carter. Yeah. What are we?
No, we're not doing our own Shine compilations, but thanks all the same for the email, Dennis Wilkinson.
One more quick one. Where is it? I've lost it now. Oh, for fuck's sake. There it is. Dis and Dat Vet. This sounds good. From Lewis Skinner, not Lewis Clare, who, of course, is our farmer. This is Lewis Skinner. And he starts it quite well. He starts it, all right, both. Quite like that. He hasn't put our names or
all right,
cunts.
Both.
Or
yeah, well, he's saved both. Himself a bit of time now. Don't blame him.
Yeah. He says, took my dog to the vet the other day to be greeted by one of the most dis and dat blokes I've ever met in my life. I took my mum and she apologised if our dog snapped at him or anything. Bear in mind, my dog is fucking tiny. To which the vet replied, madam, I've been doing this for 30 years. She's not exactly a Rottweiler. He then went on to explain one of his old colleagues was bitten in the face by a Rottweiler, which he found amusing.
one of my mates got bit in the face.
By a Rottweiler.
They were quite funny.
Great
quite
day,
funny,
that
to
was.
Be honest.
And it says, when it came to paying, I asked, do I need to come in to pay? And he gave it the old, pay if you want or drive off. I don't care, pussycat, I get paid regardless.
Good man.
And he says, sorry if this is shite, it made me laugh at the time. But this is not shite, this is good. I like that. This is that bit. All right, pay, don't pay. I'm not bothered, I'm on a flat fee. Doesn't matter, mate. I'm on a wage.
Could not give a fuck, mate.
Right.
Even if your animal dies, I still get paid. It's amazing, but it's true. It's the contract I insisted on.
My mate who got bitten by the Rottweiler in the face. He didn't get a bonus or anything. Still got the same 120 quid a week.
Swings and roundabouts. I've got the freedom, but at the same time, don't have the security. So, you know.
That's the vetting game, though. In a nutshell. Right, that's it from this episode. Thanks, hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back with some topical stuff soon after our Easter holiday. You can go on holiday in your own mind.
I like to travel into my own heart.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.